Oh, good morning. Great to have your company. It's the October 4-day Tuesday, and Andrew Thorburn, who is the new Essendon CEO, is going to come into the studio and join us. So there you go. David Noble is a trade radio expert. Questions without notice, the Kogan Money credit card, packed full of value. Melbourne Airport parking, nothing beats 12 bucks a day parking at Melbourne Airport. All on board and ready to go. Your calls. We're chasing down some commentary about the Adelaide 36ers' massive win over in the States. Trying to track down Tim's mate, Jock Landale, who he pestered with text messages one day after we spoke to him. So we'll find out whether Jock put your number straight into the bin or not. Welcome to you, Old Whispers.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, everybody. Great to be here. What a show we've got lined up for you this morning. And
what a
show.
There's
so many things to talk about that have taken place since we were last on air back on Thursday.
This is your last week too?
Yes, it is, Gary. Very sad week. A very, very sad week. I don't know why you brought it up so early in the day. Just to upset me.
3 days a week.
Just to upset me.
3 days a week, Whispers. Finishing up Friday, Thursday. No, I miss you. In fact, I don't know if I can go on with that. I don't think I will, to be perfectly honest.
Hey, your beard's coming along nicely too.
Yeah, well, it's a week.
Yeah, good.
That's 1 week.
That's 1 week.
Of no shaving.
Hair growing out as well?
I gave myself a haircut.
Did you?
I couldn't be bothered going to the hairdresser. And I'm not on television, so... Just,
you might find your way on TV. You never, ever know in this business.
Well, the Channel Wisp cameras might come in for our interview with Andrew Thorburn.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will. Did you catch any of the NRL Grand Final on Sunday?
Watched it all.
Yes. What did you think about the pre-game entertainment?
Well, we had a bit of a chat about Bucklesby. He doesn't engage in that sort of stuff as you do, so I'd much rather have a chat with you about it. There were some interesting performers.
Yes.
Is what I was getting at.
What did you think of Jimmy?
Well, no, let me start
Screeching
at,
Jimmy.
At Blin and Eso. Yeah. Who were the two rappers. I needed to talk to you. What did I say? Bliss and Eso.
Yeah, right.
As you can see, I'm not that familiar with them.
No. I'm not familiar with them at all.
Oh, well, look at Molly Meldrum Dunstall. He reckon he's laughing his head off. He's got a couple of his albums, have you? And they had a lady called Joy just playing her guitar while they rapped over the top of her.
Right. No good? Well, I missed that bit. I didn't turn it on early enough, obviously.
Well, no. They were for the Sheldon Riley. Did you see him?
Yep. Sing
Everybody Wants to Rule the World?
Yeah, I saw him.
Who's he?
I don't know. I was going to ask you if you knew who he was.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I tell you what, he took some tentative steps to get down off that platform. Did you watch him?
He had the high heels on. He thought he was going to make every news service in the world. And across to Australia for the big rugby league grand final. And oh, here's old Meat Sheldon down the stairs.
Should we know who he is?
Well, someone. I've got two producers.
Yeah, none of them listen to the show, though.
They don't listen. They're doing a crossword out there. From The Voice, apparently.
They're doing Wordle, are they?
They're doing Wordle.
Yeah, and then Jimmy. What did you think about Jimmy?
Jimmy,
you got a couple of years left in him or not?
I thought he was going to do a poof of elf.
I thought he was going to do a poof of elf. I could see the earplugs. I thought they were going to blow out at one stage there.
I don't know.
How does he keep doing that?
I don't know how he does that.
I looked at Susie and I said, how does he keep doing this at his age?
So I screamed at me.
Surely he's got, how's he got a voice left at all?
I screamed at my kids one day like that and wasn't able to talk for about 3 months.
It is. It is unbelievable.
It's a credit to him. He was belting it out.
Oh, was he? What?
Thank God for Jimmy. And then, did you notice Diesel?
I did.
On the guitar?
Yeah, I noticed Diesel.
And then...
You know, Diesel and I go back away, don't you? I've told you that story, haven't I? I'm sure I've told you that story.
No.
Yes, I have.
Well, tell me again.
No, the time that Soss and I flew up to Sydney for the People's Choice Awards... And then after
what
that...
What were you and Sauce doing at the Peoples?
I've got no idea. But anyway, we went up to Steak and Kidney for it. And then we found ourselves in the... They set up in the foyer of the hotel. They'd set up Dodgem cars.
Oh, yeah.
And Sauce and I were in the Dodgem cars and we're banging into the back of Diesel.
I thought you were going to say something exciting. I mean, Sauce found ourselves at Diesel's after party.
And Russell Crowe, he was the other guy.
Oh, Rusty.
We're banging into the back of him as well.
A bit more interesting.
Anyway, so he was on the guitar. That's not his name. I don't think he goes by the name of Diesel anymore.
I'm not saying I changed the game, but I did.
Diesel Dunstall. Yes, he does go by Diesel.
No, he does. Isn't he his real name?
Johnny.
Johnny, is it?
I read Diesel. And then another bloke came out and sang as well who I didn't know. He might have been the backing singer.
Right.
But anyway, the age-old argument about how it always looks better at night, which it does, no question about that.
He's not Johnny Diesel.
Johnny Diesel.
His real name. It begins with L. It's Italian.
Who's Johnny Diesel?
His surname is...
Johnny Knoxville?
Johnny...
No. Not Johnny Knoxville, Dunstall.
Mark Lazzotti is his real name.
Mark, well,
he doesn't go by Mark Lazzotti.
I suggest they go by that. You'll never get another gig ever.
Who you got playing at your party this weekend? Mark Lazzotti. Sure. Best you can do.
Might give that a miss, that party. So, yeah, and then the grand final. The noise, the pre-game noise.
How many times did they say that during the commentary? This is the noisiest crowd.
Well, it was, and they couldn't hear. I said the guys on the ground, because you put the desk out on the ground, and then they just had to stop talking because they couldn't hear each other. It was clearly it was like as loud as it's ever been, 82,000, 83,000 people. So, and then the game, the worst thing was that the Parramatta Eels fans were making all the noise. Yeah. They were the ones going Burko, and then they were 28 zipped down.
They had to quieten them down, didn't they?
So they didn't get the chance to really let loose again.
But hey, you know Billy Slater, did you see his
real
piece?
Name?
Billy Slater, that's his real name.
Yeah.
Did you see the Slates?
That's a big changing of the guard, that.
Yeah, did you see him do that presentation?
Massive changing of the guard.
I understand that bit, but did you see him do his little
spot? Yeah, I sort of walked out of the room.
That was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
Well, but this was, you know the story behind this, don't you?
No, I don't, no.
That's Phil Gould's territory, right?
Yeah.
This is Phil Gould made this his signature. He started, when Phil Gould got out of coaching and went to the media, we tuned into State of Origin one year, and everyone's going, oh, Phil Gould, what's he going to do? And he did this walk and talk, like a minute and a half before, the unscripted walk and talk a minute and a half before the bounce, and it just blew everyone away.
Right.
It was coach speak. Right. And that's been his go for however long he... Then the fact that Billy Slater did it, that was a massive, massive changing of the guard. So that was that was big news in the media landscape. So essentially saying, Phil.
That walk and talk, if he did that and it was unscripted, it could not have been unscripted.
I don't know if his was unscripted. I know that Phil.
What if he had a little.
Had a little auto cue in
the camera. Auto cue in front of him?
Well, it can be in the camera.
Yeah.
As you well know, having done it for 40 years.
Thanks for that. I wondered how they did that.
But I didn't watch it. I was sort of in and out, so I wasn't sort of paying forensic.
He was good. He was really, really good. Really, really good.
They had the guy calling it. And then they had the two specials, which was Andrew Johns and Cam Smith.
Yeah.
They had Billy Slater somewhere.
Yep.
They had the boxer, Paul Gallen.
Had Fitz.
Who?
Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie Fittler.
Yeah, he was down there.
And there was one other.
It's Fittler.
Fittler.
No, it's not Fiddler.
Freddie Fittler. I said Fittler. How do you spell it?
It's F-I-double-C.
I call him the Fittler. I know who Freddie Fiddler is.
It's not Fiddler. It's.
Well, I know who he is.
You know,
who spoke to him?
You're not enunciating clearly. It's Fittler.
Freddie Fiddler. I said that. That's exactly what I said, you idiot. Freddie Fiddler.
It's right
going to be one of those weeks.
Yeah,
the Wisps
said it right
checked
once.
It out.
It's Fittler.
Freddie Fiddler. I have a silent T in my name.
I didn't realise you had a lisp. Hey, my grandson went to, I don't know whether you've spoken about this, but he went to, he's 3 years of age today. Happy birthday to you, Huxley.
Huxley.
He went to Mossa. He went to the Mossa Jam at Amy
Monster
Park.
Monster Jam.
The Mossa Jam. He calls it the Mossa. The Mossa, the trucks, the Mossa trucks. Have you seen those or not?
You have Sanctuary Bear as well.
He calls them Mossa.
Because of Mossa Truck.
The Mossa Jam.
Yeah. Did he love it?
He loved it.
He would love it.
He's 3 years. I did not think that he could sit there. My daughter said, and my son-in-law said, that it was an amazing show. There would have been a lot of people there on Saturday.
Amy Park.
Amy Park, yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, that would be exactly what a young...
Or Sunday it was.
A young three-year-old boy would be into. Like the big, they flip over, they do backflips.
Everything.
The fire comes out of them.
Everything. Unbelievable.
Like Nikki driving. Oh, God, I hope she's not listening. No, she would. She's a good driver. That would be good. That would be good.
And you caught the last episode of Farmer Wants a Roof Over His Head as well last night, did you?
Well, I was watching both because Monday night the block did their reveal of the rooms. I'm right into it because they're farmhouses. I'm taking notes studiously.
Of course.
But the ad breaks were synced up pretty well. So every ad break for the farmer wants a roof over his head. I was watching the block and then I flipped over and I caught a fair bit of it, yeah.
Benny chose Leash, Harry chose Tess, and Will chose Jess.
And where did the hairy bloke go?
He didn't come back.
I never come back.
No, he had some anxiety, had some heart, I think he had some pangs. Oh, he couldn't.
Some Sams.
He couldn't.
Some Sam pangs.
He couldn't decide between the three girls that he kissed, and then he got sort of like an anxiety attack, I think, which is not a pleasant thing to get.
Terrible.
So I find it really hard to watch the rejection though, that part, you know, when they have to choose between one or the other. Always feels sad for the person that they don't choose.
Does it?
They should have a runner-up, like, farmer.
They do.
They
do. It's called The Bachelor.
They should. The other farmer should turn up in a slightly banged-up Toyota Ute and then just sort of whisk her away.
He's share farmer. Yes. Farmer wants his share farmer.
The farmer, like a share crop.
Farmer gets a wife and the other one goes to the share farmer. Don't say that. That's not. No, they end up. Don't they end up on The Bachelor? Don't the rejects
get recycled
and go on to The Bachelor?
Only if they're really good talent.
Well, there was a couple of good talents.
No, I mean really good TV type talent. That's what I mean.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I know that's what you mean. I just wanted to back up.
The dark-haired girl who, she was a good talent. She came in late.
Yeah, Keani.
I could see her on The Bachelor.
Yeah, no, she would be potential. I don't know that. I don't know they're going ahead anymore with The Bachelor. I think they've shut that franchise down here in Australia.
I think you're wrong. I think they're going ahead with a two- or three-person Bachelor.
And have you caught up with the unbelievable new global soccer sensation, Erling Buster Haaland, the new Man City striker?
No.
Oh, he's unbelievable, Gary.
What did he do?
He got another hat-trick at the weekend for Man City.
He's good at home. He's a good home player.
Oh, he's good everywhere. He reckons I looked him up yesterday. He reckons he only wants about five touches a game. Five touches enough for
three
him.
Goals.
Yeah, three goals.
Yeah.
He's a relentless scorer. Relentless. They call him the predator in the box, they do.
The predator, that's a nice
The
one.
Predator in the box. He's like 6 foot five. Have you seen him?
Yeah, no, big blonde fella.
Yeah. Big Norwegian. Yeah, 6 foot five. 22 years of age. His current salary in the EPL is £500,000 a week.
Really?
I think he's the highest paid. He might be the highest paid player in the EPL right now. He is some sort of a player.
That's immoral. 500,000 a week. I was listening to a podcast. I told you the ESPN and Fox Sports wars. We are in the wrong country for media talent. Like how Fox started to poach ESPN talent and all that sort of stuff and the money.
Amazon.
Crazy. Well, not quite into Amazon. The streaming's just starting to take over. But so Fox Sports started and they wanted to take ESPN's territory. So then they couldn't quite get there, and then they targeted one of the ESPN producers who was First Take, and pardon the interruption, and then he then went and said, okay, if you want to be a 24/7 sports station, you've got to start getting this talent that polarises and debates and all that sort of stuff. So they then go and target the ESPN talent. Like they're on $2 million, they're from five, $5 million and a $4 million signing fee.
Wow.
This is back in 2010, I suppose.
Right.
So now they're up, those blokes are up around 15, 20 million bucks.
Right. Has anyone signed Korn yet?
Stephen A. Smith.
Where's Korn fit in all this?
Who's Korn?
Korn.
Our Korn.
Yeah. Great pleasure, Korn.
Yeah, well, he's the prototype. Colin Cowherd was one of the first to leave. And then that other guy who polarises everyone, they all go, oh, he won't work. And then the ratings follow because they just keep belting everyone.
Yeah, it's huge money over there in the NFL commentary too. Al Michaels, like, he signed an unbelievable deal.
Aiken.
Tom Brady, what about he? He signed a massive deal too. Romo. He's still not even commentating.
Romo. Nice to have a chat with you in the ad. All right, Art, when we come back, I want to talk to you about the 1951 Penfold Grange. Price has just come out. Maxie Gorn's got a new restaurant that's about to open. We'll have a chat about that as well. Get involved on the Temper 40 Wings text. It's Wisps last week. So you won't get much of Wisp for the rest of the summer. So now's your time to get in touch with him. Consumer's Choice winner, Temper mattresses, pillows and adjustable bases. They conform to the exact shape of your body. I did say it's a Wisp's last week for the rest of the summer, and Cam's picked me up, rightfully picked me up, Cam from Churnside Park. The rest of the summer, we aren't even halfway through spring. And Johnny from Epping, has he got 4 days a week in him? Well, we'll have it. Well, let's say this. We'll make an announcement this week about, because then they're saying, are you going to come back next year?
Yeah, we're all back.
Well,
aren't we?
Well, we'll make an announcement, but hopefully before.
Am I going to be back on my own?
Before the wisp goes, well, it's just fairly delicate at the moment.
Where's it at?
We'll just read Scotty Gallen. He'll tell you what's going on.
Is there something about you in the paper today?
No. God, no. Not today.
Oh, right. No. Hey, I was having a minor procedure yesterday, right? So I was in the waiting room at the doctor's surgery. No. And in walked
when people say minor, I say no, delicate surgery. That's a
delicate surgery. This was just a minor scrape, you know, a little thing.
Ooh,
on my forehead.
Oh, on your forehead.
Yeah, on my forehead, yeah. Oh. So I had it scraped off anyway. But a bloke walked into the waiting room who I recognised immediately. Now, this bloke, I won't tell you who he is, but I think he's taken the greatest mark ever in the goal square in the history
Sean
of
Smith.
The game. No.
It wouldn't be better than Sean.
It was better.
It wouldn't be better than Sean and my mark.
In my humble opinion, it is a better mark than the Sean Smith
mark.
The goal square.
Moorcroft.
Correct, Wade.
Great mark. Not as good as...
Oh, you go back and watch that mark again, and the way that he launched...
I'll do it right now.
Okay. The way that he launched, I think...
Yeah, it was over.
I'm happy for you to consider Sean Smith as the greatest mark, okay? And there might be people out there that saw John Coleman take a mark in the goal square or whatever. But I think the Gary Moorcroft one is the greatest mark I've ever seen taken in the goal square.
Righto. Let's put it out there. Gary Moorcroft or my mark with Sean White. They're the two, I would imagine. Here it is. I'm going to have a look at it right now. He was on Brady Johnson.
And he launched himself. The thing was, he launched himself out of nowhere. Absolute nowhere.
Do you want me to commentate?
Yep, there you go.
Ball goes down, Lloyd goes up, gets pushed to the ground. Lucas on the right boot. That's unusual. Whoa, Moorcroft! And it's just outside the goal square.
I think that might have been his fourth goal that quarter too that he kicked Gary Moorcroft.
You know, it was a right footer kick
from Lloydie.
From Lucas.
Was it from Lucas? That's right, from Lucas, yeah.
And it's an unbelievable.
It is an unbelievable grab, isn't it?
Yeah, incredible. Incredible mark. You can vote now on our Twitter vote, Moorcroft or my mark.
Well, maybe there's another one. It has to be taken in the goal square, though.
Righto.
It actually has
the
to be
Peter Bezasto, was his mark in the goal square?
Edge of it. If it wasn't in the goal square, it was right on the line somewhere.
I don't know. The boys, someone would have spoken to Peter Bezasto recently. I hope our audience appreciate how good Peter Bezasto was, the footballer. Took mark of the year and got goal of the year in the same year. Mark and goal of the year.
Yeah, I remember the goal of the year was the chase down and the smother, wasn't it? And then the regather and...
Yeah, Andrew Buesel.
Yeah, unbelievable. I'm sure you would have talked about this yesterday, but Scott Pendlebury, did you talk about Scott Pendlebury at all yesterday?
About what?
About his BNF record.
Yeah.
That 14
out of 17.
14 out of 17, top three.
Top three.
Top three.
Top three?
Top three, 14 out of 17 seasons.
Yeah, I dips me lid to that.
I ran into a couple of football historians in Albert Park on Saturday morning, Mike Sheen and Richard Collis, and they were saying I think the only other two players that they could recall in the history of VFL AFL football to do that were Kevin Murray and Gary Dempsey.
Right. Well,
you're a football historian. Can you think of anyone else?
Yeah, I would say I'd like to know Gary Wilson's record at Fitzroy. Would have been up there.
Skilts.
Well,
they would have known Skilts' record because Richard Collis is a South.
Lee Matthews, he won it eight times.
He won it eight times, yeah. So he's obviously finished in the top three eight times.
A chance, one would think. No, that's unbelievable. I knew
what
it was,
about that for,
I thought it was top five, top three.
What about that for a level of consistency of performance, of high-level performance?
Crazy. Crazy.
Do we undervalue him or underrate him, do you think, when we're talking about the best midfielders? His name never comes up.
Like
the
last 20.
Oh, I don't think it
does. No, I think it does.
You hear, like, Judd comes up and Diesel's name comes up and Gary Ablett Jr. and other players and Robert Hart. But I don't know that anyone's ever really pushed him up into that conversation about Boone.
I think they have, but if they haven't, they should.
They should.
Yeah.
And is he now on par? Is he gone past Bucks as the greatest Collingwood player of all time?
Got one more show to do, Bucks. I've got to sit with him
next Monday. He wouldn't be listening.
Longevity. For longevity, he has.
No, not just longevity.
Well, 14 top three finishes suggested from a longevity point of view he's better than nearly anyone.
That's right. No, but that's from a
level Bucks won six, best and fairest.
Yes, but this is from a level of consistency and high-level performance over a long period of time, too.
I'm staying with Buckley.
Okay.
Until he finishes up.
He's running like a snail.
Until he finishes up on Monday. Modra took... Oh, he did too. Thank you for that. Tony Modra took a belter against North Melbourne in the goal square. That was an absolute rip snorter. Rob's in Williamstown. Go, Rob.
Hello.
Go, Rob. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you going?
Good, thanks, Rob.
Now, listen, Peter Bezusto's Mark, right?
Mm.
Now, he hurdled John Mossop that day.
Hurdled him. That's I'm up.
Now, the young bloke out behind the Robert Heatley's, in front of the Robert Heatley stand nearly every weekend, you know that that space between the boundary line and the back fence was not that big, was it?
No.
And I was on the fence.
Oh, I might have a look right now, see if I can see your screaming head in the background.
What do you look like, Rob? Just describe yourself to Gary, see if he can't point you out.
I've had a look. You can't see me because of the angle, right?
Right, okay.
But I was on the fence, and Peter Bezusto came back, and he was on the fence as well.
Yep.
And just as he took off of that mark, I gave him a little push.
Oh, is that close, was he?
He was that close. I gave him a little push, and I reckon without that push... Right, he wouldn't have taken that mark.
I like
so
it.
I'm taking some of that goal of the year.
Good
mark,
on you, mate.
That mark of the year.
Thanks Good for calling
you.
In. I'm looking at it
Good
right
you,
now, and yeah, it's a great mark. It is actually Tim. It's a great mate. It's up there with Sean Smith and my mark.
Is it
right up there? It might even be. I think it's better than Gary Moorcroft's. It's unbelievable grab. Craig's in St Albans. Go, Craig.
Morning, boys. Listening to your mate Punchy Paul Kent on the NRL show last night.
Yeah.
He was giving it to Penrith about showing no humility or grace after the game. And they showed some clips of their presentment to their fans yesterday. And a couple of the statements they made, they were fair dinkum disgraceful.
Yeah, they're in a bit of trouble, Craig. They've been described as classless and lacking in humility in the way they've celebrated some of the stuff we can't play. It had some racial connotations to it all. So,
really?
Yeah, they'd be disappointed with that. That's what happens when you get grog in you and then you put a microphone right anywhere near them. So, no, I don't think they'd be too happy with the way that they've been, certainly in the way they presented themselves post their premiership.
Right.
Unlike Geelong, if we want to do comparisons. Who've been full of class everywhere they've gone.
Everywhere. Have they been malarkers, have they? Are we allowed to say that? Because that's the Greek word for wank, you know.
I don't think, Tim, when you venture down this path, I just distanced myself from that comment, from the wisp. And
I looked it up.
Oh, let's get a news update, quick sticks.